Hey everybody, how you doing? Spring is almost here. I'm here to introduce our guest speaker, Susan. Sue Woody is the director of the Des Moines Public Library. She's been with the library for 20 years, serving as director for the last six. Her literary passions include early literacy, getting kids excited about reading. Prior to her time in Des Moines at the public library, she co-owned The Alligator's Tale. That's T-A-L-E, not T-A-I-L, which was an independent children's bookstore. She grew up in Des Moines and attended the University of Iowa, where she received a degree in finance. And later, she earned a master's degree in library and information science from the University of North Texas. Her hobbies include reading, of course, gardening, and kayaking. Please welcome Susan Woody.
Good morning. Thank you so much for letting me come and talk to you today. Let's see. Do you do the clicker or do I do the clicker? Okay. Thank you for the kind introduction, David. I am a lifelong resident of the city of Des Moines, and I must say, sometimes I don't recognize my city. I grew up in the time when we welcomed newcomers to our state and we prized our education. I've met a couple of teachers here, just 30 plus years teaching in Des Moines Public, or in the school system in Iowa. We seem to have gotten away from that a little bit. Our motto is we prize our civil liberties, and we need to keep up with these things. We seem to be going the wrong direction. But let me tell you that all of these beautiful things about Iowa are still alive and well at Des Moines Public Library, and indeed at every library in every community. They're right there in our mission and vision to strengthen our community by connecting people to the ideas and tools they need to enrich their lives. I might add, for free, but it's all about betterment of our individuals and betterment of our city with our vision. Create a stronger, more dynamic Des Moines where everyone's potential is realized. So they're still alive and well, and there's so many things I'd like to tell you about the library, starting out with why we need libraries. We're about information. We always have been, we always will be. Back when libraries first started, they were the only place to get information. And now we know the opposite is true. There is so much information. There is so much misinformation. We still need libraries to find the information that is right and true for our patrons and the people who need it. We're palaces for the people. Libraries are for everyone. We serve everyone from families to seniors, even teenagers. We welcome everyone. They're for everyone. Critical for lifelong learning. Now, we all know that we need exercise and we need good, healthy foods, but we also need more. We need to exercise our brain. We need to be lifelong learners. And a library provides whatever information you're looking for free, so that you can learn what you want to learn. Literacy, I'll talk a little bit more about this later, but this is, I always say, the library rises to the needs and responds to the needs of our community. This is a very great need that many people have no idea that is in such dire need right now in the city of Des Moines. I'll talk about that in a minute. We are a safe space for all. We are a warming shelter when it's freezing outside. We are a cooling shelter when it's 100 degrees. We are for everyone. We are for kids who come after school. We have a place for kids to go in the summertime. We're safe spaces for everyone. Libraries help preserve our history. We have fantastic archives at the Des Moines Public Library. We're the largest library in the state of Iowa. And did you know, if you were a Lincoln High graduate in the 1980s, you can get on our website, dmpl.org, and find your Lincoln High yearbook, or your Dowling yearbook, or your Roosevelt yearbook for the last probably 100 years. They're all digitized, they're at the library, but they are also online. And I'd love to see us do more digitization projects so that all of that in great information and great history is accessible. Access to technology. The digital divide does exist. There are people who don't have computers at home. They don't have Wi-Fi. Libraries provide free access to computers. We have hotspots that we check out, free Wi-Fi, and even laptops that we check out. So important. And a library is a place to experience new things. We have thousands of programs every year. A little shout out to Dave Raymond, who is at this front table. He is our brand new director, executive director of the Des Moines Public Library Foundation. And our foundation provides funding for every program that we have. So we're so grateful and thankful. And of course, we are about books. No shame in that. That's our main mission. If you are not in a book club, we have a book club for you. If you are in a book club, raise your hand. Are you in a book club? Several. We have book club sets where you can check out a set of 10 to 12 copies of a book, so no one even has to buy it. Libby, has anyone used Libby? A lot more hands there. Libby is our downloadable ebooks, e-audiobooks, e-magazines. It's incredible. I had a friend the other day say, Libby is my best friend. And I'm like, now you've got lots of friends. She's like, no, Libby is my best friend. And it's amazing what we have to offer at people's fingertips. You don't even have to come into a library. The interesting fact is, before the pandemic, we could barely get anyone to download a book. Since the pandemic, when that was the only way they could get their books, people have embraced it. It's actually our highest circulating branch at this point. People love it. And for those people who don't want to have to wait for a hold of 75 people in line for a hot title, we have hot titles, no holds, both on Libby and in our libraries. So you can come in and kind of skip the line. So that's, we're responding to what people want. So, and of course, we have great librarians who can always help you find whatever you're looking for. So books and reading. I challenge you every year. We have a reading challenge. This year, we kind of did something different with a bingo. So I'm just going to read some of the categories because they might be hard to read from the back. Read a book that's from an author with the Iowa Writers Workshop. Read a whodunit. Found family. Read a 2025 avid author. I'll talk about those in a minute as well. So we're trying to challenge people to get out. If you love romances, if you love mysteries, we're trying to get you to kind of get out of your box a little bit and read something new. So we challenge you. We've got podcasts and use your library. You'll save so much money. And there's so much more. Washington Post, The New York Times, Wall Street Journal, these are all available to you free, online, no walls, no payments, available through your library, as well as Mango. That's if you speak French and you want to learn Spanish, this is a database that can help you do just that. Canopy provides lots of great documentaries, some award winners, but it also has those great learning courses. So again, we're talking about lifelong learning. Keep your brains with great courses. We have comic books online even. And Tech Central, I just want to add a little bit. This is at our central location. There's a Glowforge press. There are 3D printers. There's like really super fancy 3D printers. We have Adobe Creative Stations. We have so many technological things, even a sewing machine that you could come to our Tech Central and use some of our fantastic technology. Libraries have had to adapt. We are here for, we're serving our community for 158 years. And so we're constantly changing. Some of the things stay the same, information and books, but we have added a new library called the Library of Things. And there are amazing things for you to check out. There's camping equipment, there's radon detector kits, there's telescopes, there's GoPros, there's kitchen, there's games and puzzles. There are so many things. There's tools that you can check out, hundreds. You can check out on our website and you'll be able to find them all. Check it out before you buy, or maybe you don't have to buy it at all. I checked my radon just the other day and luckily we're all good. But it's nice that you can check that out from the library. We even have carpet cleaners and vacuums, and that actually made the news. I think it even went on an AP. Some people don't have enough money for a vacuum cleaner, but they deserve to have a clean space to live, and they can come and they can check out a things that we take for granted that other people just might not have the funds for, but they deserve a clean, safe space to live, provided by the library. Got to talk about Avid. It's coming right up. This was great timing. Avid is Authors Visiting in Des Moines for over 20 years, sponsored by our foundation. We bring fantastic authors to Des Moines, Iowa. The first one is CJ Box. He's going to be a part of the Des Moines Book Festival, and that will be at Franklin Junior High. CJ Box is kind of a cool game warden guy in Wyoming, and Joe Pickett is his, and he's had Big Skies. A couple of spin-off series have been based on his books. Amina Luckman Dawson, this is a book that is a children's book. I read it. I could not put it down. And when you talk about how people are trying to erase history, this is a story about two children who escape a plantation, who are enslaved. They run into the Great Dismal Swamp, where it was harrowing. It was like I couldn't put the book down because it was so exciting. It felt like Hunger Games. But they found a community called Freewater of other slaves that had formed a community and were living off the land in the swamps. It was fascinating. David Baldacci, we've been trying to get him for years. We had him in March of 2020 and the pandemic happened. We've tried every year to get him back, and this year he is coming. It will be a big crowd, so that one will also be at the Franklin Junior High. Abby Jimenez, we are thinking about having to find another location for her. The response has been so incredible. She's kind of romantic comedy, rom-com, huge following. I didn't know her. I just finished Just for the Summer. It was a great book, lots of fun, a little spicy. Nothing wrong with that. Kevin Wilson is the one I'm most excited about. I loved, there's a little book on the bottom. There's Nothing to See Here. It's about children who, when they become agitated, they burst into flames. Nothing bad happens to them, but he's got quirky characters with funny, odd storylines that just keep you engaged because his writing is so magnificent. And last, if you're in a book club, chances are you've read The Measure, where everyone on earth gets a little string. If it's a short string, you have a short life to live. If you have a long string, you have a longer. What would you do if you knew how long your life was going to? Her next one is The Poppy Fields, a very similar feel in that how far would you go to escape grief? The Poppy Fields is a place where people can go to basically sleep off their grief, but there are consequences. So how much are you willing to pay? So lots of really great authors with all very different, very, very diverse. Again, love that. That's just one of thousands of programs. We have gardening programs. We have music programs. We have art programs. We have STEM. We have so many different Latino heritage. We had a fantastic Day of the Dead event. So this is a place where you can come and experience new people, new ideas, new topics. We even ukulele classes. A friend of mine said, "Your ukulele class has changed my life." And I'm like, again, these great, you know, wow, these big statements over a class or a book or a service. But I said, "Why? How did that change your life?" He's like, I learned something new. I learned something completely new that I never knew. I did it with my daughter. We brought us together. And that's what the library is all about. That was so heartwarming to me. And even more, I won't go through these, but use our meeting rooms, use our study rooms. If you need a notary, we even have notaries at the library to notarize what you might need. So much that nobody has any idea of all of the depth of services and the breadth of services that we offer. I want to talk a little bit about challenges facing libraries today. Lots of censorship. This is the third legislative session that we've had some really anti-library legislation going on. They started with school libraries and now they're hitting public libraries. Budget cuts is another thing that is affecting all city departments, including the library. Low literacy rates in Des Moines, we have a problem. We're trying to be a part of the solution. Serving diverse communities, our community is changing, but that doesn't have to be a bad thing. That can be a good thing. All are welcome in Des Moines and certainly all are welcome at the library. And AI, that's kind of a new exciting frontier. So we're there. Let's start with banned books. Our freedom to read is under attack, and it has been for the last couple of years. And I never thought in my career I would be having these conversations about book banning and books that people, that especially children, that seems to be the real sticking point that children should not read. Well, didn't we all read Romeo and Juliet and I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings and none of these To Kill a Mockingbird, none of these hurt us, they helped us, they broadened our horizons and gave us a glimpse into other people's realities. So this is what censorship looks like. For years, it was just nothing. And then all of a sudden in the last few years, this doesn't even include 2024, so it's even higher. So we need to do something about this. And this is not a new issue. In 1938, we have a library hero, and his name was Forrest Spaulding. That's a great picture of Forrest Spaulding that is in our boardroom at the library today. And he penned what is known as the Library Bill of Rights. In 1939, it was accepted into the American Library Association, and libraries to this very day still use the Library Bill of Rights. This is an abridged version. I'll give you an abridged version of the abridged version, because I do want to talk about the talking points, because it's very important and still so relevant today, even though I can't imagine why. Library resources should be provided for the enlightenment of all. We serve everyone. Libraries should provide materials that present all points of view. We have conservative, we have liberal. We want to be both sides of the stories. I say libraries are Switzerland, to a point. Libraries should challenge censorship. That's what I'm doing here today. That's what I do up at the Capitol. We should. It's part of our duty. Libraries should cooperate with all persons and groups concerned with free expression and free ideas. That's information should be accessible to everyone. And my information needs are completely different from your information needs and your information needs. We all have our unique needs, and the library wants to serve them. A person's right should not be denied because of age, origin, background, views. This is kind of the kicker and the sticking point with some of the opposition: age. They really have a problem with providing materials to children. The libraries don't want to say what your child can read or what your child can read. I only want to be able to say what my child should read, and I want them to read. States should not legislate that. Churches should not legislate that. It should be a parent's decision with their family, what they read, what they have access to. So that's kind of been the sticking point with a lot of people, but libraries should make spaces available. I've got a little story I've got to tell about this one. We make spaces available to everyone. A few years ago, we had our first, it wasn't even our first, our supervisor, McCoy, as well as one Iowa, brought a drag queen story time to the Des Moines Public Library. And we were like, okay, we'll do this. Let's see what happens. It was the most beautiful event. We filled our meeting room with beautiful families. We had gorgeous storytellers who sang and danced and told stories and took pictures with children. There were a few protesters. They were mostly kind of praying quietly in the corner. But nothing to fear here. It was so beautiful. It was a great event. And we were so happy that you brought it to the library. That very week, we had an avid author come in by the name of Jack Carr. And Jack Carr was an ex-Navy SEAL. And his books are masculine, manly books. And his using these like hatchets or axe weapons and killing everybody in sight. I watched the people come in. They're a bunch of men, more than a few MAGA hats, drove their big trucks in, carrying cigars and whiskeys. These were total fanboys of Jack Carr with these violent, crazy stories. But they felt as at home at the library as the drag queen story time. So that's the beauty of the library. I love that story because within 1 week, we had completely different audiences, both happy at what the library could provide. But I do also want to make a point of saying that we don't always bring those crazy, violent, masculine authors in. We try to have a great diversity of authors. And it doesn't matter. He did a great presentation. They're all wonderful. You don't have to read those books to enjoy them. I invite you. Oh, I've got bookmarks. I'll give those away at the end if I may. Another author that we brought in, Lori Frankel, wrote a book called This Is How It Always Is. And this was a few years ago. It was the most beautiful story of a family with five sons. The youngest son identified as a girl. And it was such a gorgeous story of what a family will do to protect their child, to advocate for their child, to love and support their child. It was such a loving story. So whether you're coming to see Jack Carr or Lori Frankel, there's something for everyone. And then the last one, libraries should advocate for and protect people's privacy. We don't tell what people check out. That's their own business. We don't tell parents what their teenagers check out. We have a service that they can link their accounts if we want to, if that's what the parent chooses to do. We don't want to be a part of that decision. That's up to families to decide. All libraries want to do is provide materials that are informational, correct, educational, and appropriate. for that child. So what can you do? Be informed. Read the books. A couple of advocacy organizations here. Annie's Foundation was brought together. There was a woman in Johnston who died young, and she had kids who went to the Johnston High School. After she died, her friends founded Annie's Foundation. They raised money to buy banned books to give to teenagers. So it's a great little organization, Unite Against Book Bans. That is for, it's a national organization, as is PEN America, which is an organization for authors and writers. But support your library, check these books out, go to the library, get a library card, give to our foundation that all supports the library. Dave, I'm so glad you're here. So let's talk about what's going on today. Current legislation, HF 284 and SF Senate File 238. This is a bill that is trying to cut funding, state funding, for libraries that join professional organizations such as the Iowa Library Association, the Public Library Association, Small and Rural Library Associations, and the American Library Association. I ask you, what profession does not have an association that is designed? Yes, they have lobbyists, but their primary mission is to teach our librarians how to be better, how to better to serve our community, how to give them great ideas on literacy and serving homeless patrons and serving immigrant communities. We go to these great conventions where we can find our peers, we find our people there, and we talk about how we can better serve our community by library services. That's what they're for. And then House File 521 and Senate File 235 seek to repeal the Iowa Code 728.7. This is the obscenity exemptions for public libraries as well as educational institutions. There are clear definitions of what is obscene, and that is not the same as what might be controversial. We don't have obscene materials at the library. No library does. But people are latching on to that as what they consider obscene, which is really just what they don't agree with. And we want everyone to make the decisions. If we went so far as in some of the legislation that they're talking about, any books with a sex act has to be separate. Well, there goes Colleen Hoover. There goes half the New York Times bestseller lists. I think we all want to have the ability to read these books and not have them be sectioned away. Funding cuts. The city took some pretty big funding cuts, as did the library. We had to cut two full-time librarians, one at Central and one at Franklin. And we also were not able to replace our social worker. And those hit us hard. They will affect our services. We had a social worker for 1 year. Don't blame her. She went to the VA. She's got more money. She's got a staff. She's got lots more resources to support her. But we were not able to backfill that position. And it's made a huge difference. We have a homeless situation in Des Moines, and she was making a huge difference. So we know that the state is trying to cut control. It's all about control through money. And so by cutting budgets for cities, they're trying to limit the control of cities. Pella is an example of a community. This was a few years ago. They had to take it to a city vote where their community had to go in and vote to maintain the board of trustees at their library. They wanted the city council to decide what books should be on the shelf. And that's the library board's duty. I have a fantastic library board of 5 members, diverse members of our community who are passionate and knowledgeable about library services. And there's a reason why it's separate. And that goes back to the Library Bill of Rights. There's a reason why it's separate than having it be politicized. I talked a little bit about literacy. I hinted to this. You'll see a big red line. Don't worry about the numbers, actually, but these are literacy rates. These might be a little bit dated, but average literacy rates across the state of Iowa, 60 to 70%. Not great, but okay. I guess it's a C. Average literacy rates in some of our suburbs, like Ankeny and Waukee, are in the 80th and 90th percentiles across the spectrum from K through 12. Des Moines is that big red line there, 40th and even 50th. I think this year we might have some more low 50s versus, that's half. That's an F in my book. Half of our kids are not reading at proficiency levels for their grade. And this is a huge problem. This is going to affect all of us. And the library wants to be a part of this solution. We have to do something. And I do want to put a plug in for Des Moines Public Schools. I think they are on the right track. They're making some very bold moves that I think are going to address a lot of these issues. But that we Iowa isn't a state that's really funding our public schools right now. They're not supporting them the way they need to be and the way they used to be. So what's the library doing? Well, we have a high-level initiative for our strategic plan. We are focusing on pre and early literacy. Early literacy, we have a Rosie Reads campaign and initiative. You have to learn to read before you can read to learn. And that's being you have to read by the time you're in second, maybe third grade. Otherwise, you're behind for the rest of your school career. So we are going out into the schools, and we are doing outreach to daycares, Head Starts, after-school programs, and in the classrooms and preschools. Simple Steps to Success is another. That's pre-literacy. That's birth through pre-K. And that's getting kids to read, write, sing, talk, and play. Five easy things that families, caregivers, even siblings can do with little ones to prepare them for school and make them ready to read when they get there. Talked a little bit about serving diverse communities. We know that Des Moines is changing. I touched on the homeless situation at, it's not just at Central, it's throughout all of our libraries. Libraries are having to respond to so many needs that we did not. We have four libraries that have food pantries. We have an outreach program. Deb's a part of that. She helps out with that. This is a program where we can bring in other community partners that bring in food, that bring in, they might do vaccinations, they might do free phones, primary health care. So we're working with the city of Des Moines and with, they're doing some outreach workers, they're doing some downtown patrols, they have an increased police presence. We don't want to criminalize homelessness. We want to, that's part of the library's role as a public space. We are open when it's 10 below. We are open when it's, you know, 110. So we're doing things that we never thought we had to do, but demographics are also changing in Des Moines, and we are trying to respond to an increasing community within Des Moines of the bilingual community, primarily the Hispanic community. And we're having Latino cultural programming, we're having bilingual programming, we're having different language materials available, we're doing a lot of translations. And this is really exciting because they're bringing some fun families into the library. It's like a whole new audience for us. And it's not a bad thing, it's a great thing. It's a fun thing, we need to support it. But that's how libraries have to constantly change. We need to reflect the people that we serve, and the people behind the counters need to be diverse, and they need to be hopefully bilingual, at least one or two in each location. It's one of our goals. AI is here to stay. So we are with it. We just had a speaker come in from New York to talk to our library. There's so many exciting things. When calculators came out, that was a game changer. When Google came out, everyone said, nobody needs a library, I'll just Google it. Well, you know, Google something, you might get 15,000 hits. So these are all great things. AI will be a great thing. ChatGPT will be wonderful. And these are tools that we can use. Again, it's always about information. The medium just keeps changing and the library changes along with it. So libraries will all be here for you. Do we have time for some questions? Oh, okay, just a few. So anybody have any questions for me? I covered a lot. I talk fast. I'm sorry.
And it's just great to see.
Families are our bread and butter, and every summer we have the summer reading program and summer reading challenge, and we want those kiddos to read because we know there is that summer slide. If they're not reading, if they're not engaging their little brains, by the time they get back to school in fall, they've regressed a couple of months and they have to kind of go backwards to go forwards. We're trying to be a part of that solution and summer reading and supporting families and supporting teens. Our Franklin location especially has a robust teen program and volunteer. All those kids getting their silver cords. They need hours. It's a great place for them to learn responsibility, learn how to show up on time, what to wear, put your phone away. So we want to be a big part of families. It's so important. It's so great when they come in to get that card. Yeah. I'm so glad you asked that. Open access is what's that called? Is what that's called. Open access allows, I could get a card at Cedar Rapids. I might not be able to use their downloadable projects. Our Libby, you have to use your own home library for your digital because they're so expensive and we put a lot of money into ours. So it's only available to our Des Moines and Windsor Heights residents. But I could check out a book, or anyone can check out a book at the Des Moines Public Library throughout the state of Iowa. A lot of people don't know that. Thank you for asking that.
I was just curious about many people in this room may have large collections of books already, and as we are trying to downsize, do you take donations or?
Thank you. Yes, we do. For books that we withdraw or books that are donated to the library, we put those in our book sales, and we're able to use the funds that are generated by the book sale to support that branch. And so sometimes the city doesn't buy our library carts or our furniture or some of the things that support our staff. So that's a nice little pocket of money with donated books to provide for patron-facing needs of the library. So yes, and it also is a great way to keep those books in circulation, keep people reading, and they sell for like a quarter, maybe a dollar, maybe two if it's like an art book. So come do shopping at the library. You would never know, but they have great, sometimes we even have big annual sales as well, just to kind of get everything going. But it's a great way to keep books in circulation, keep people reading, $0 practically, and support the library. Thank you for asking that question. I always forget that.
Teacher type question.
Of course, I love our teachers. Oh my goodness.
Big cell that, oh my God.
Okay, one of our Kevin Wilson is one of our avid authors. I'm reading his book called The Family Fang. And it's about this crazy artistic family that do performance art spontaneously throughout the community. Weird, weird stuff. But it's a great book. I have a book club, and we just wrote a read a book called Sipsworth. I just finished that last week. About a it's about a an old woman who befriends a mouse. She's very lonely, and she befriends a mouse. But it's a sweet, cozy story. I read across the spectrum. I try to read a lot of different things. I'm just trying to catch up with my avid authors right now. But thank you for asking that question. Rachel.
I'm interested to know what your top three talking points would be when advocating for the library at a state level under the Golden Dome. What do you think are the pieces we need to be bringing to the forefront? I recognize the bills, that you are most allergic to.
Okay, I think library autonomy is something that's we have a board that is made up of community members that are entrusted to run the libraries. Library funding, of course, is we need library funding. We're in the middle of budget cuts, so I would advocate for funding. I would advocate for autonomy, and I would think freedom of reading, our civil liberties. We get to read what we want to read. We get access to the information that is important to us and that we need to. And if we don't protect them, if we don't stand up for them, and we don't talk about them, they will go away. They're trying to get them to go away right now. They're trying to outlaw things like drag story times. And I told you what a beautiful story that was that we had at the library, that we want to be able to control that. Again, Rachel, follow up.
There's a lot of spiciness in that. Where this line of appropriateness. I also read one quote, it was the cuckoo's nest, and was totally petrified by the story there, right? Furthering mental health insecurities, articulating those outside of the space for fear of being lobotomized, for example. That was real for me as a high schooler. So, like this Bible, if you want to talk about banned books, I mean, do we really have that issue? Because I feel like we can really extrapolate some things from that.
Well, they just say exempting religious books. Like, well, that's not an answer. But you're right. I mean, it all comes down to choice. Everyone should be able to choose what they read. It should not be dictated to them. It should be available to them, whether at a library, whether at a bookstore. It all boils down to choice and what is an ugly story about an alternative lifestyle that people don't understand is a story of love and support for someone else who reads the same book. As you mentioned, as the as a cuckoo, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I read that as a teenager, and I recently reread it. I don't even know why, as an adult, and it was a completely different story to me. So even a story can change within a person based on what's going on in their life, based on their maturity, based on where they are. So, it wasn't right for me when I was in high school, but it was right for me as an adult. I learned a lot. How about you next?
Library. So I feel like right now a lot of things are happening. I'm a business owner, is that if they're trying to businessify everything that's government, right? So one of the things I was curious about as a relatively newer person to Iowa is joining a library beneficial to show your continued growth?
Absolutely. You can advocate with your feet. Come in our doors, walk in our doors. We do libraries collect statistics on everything, every question we answer, every body that goes through our door, everyone that attends a program. And the reason why we do is because we are an accredited institution and we provide that information to the state library, which affects our funding. And so we need people to use their library and talk about their library and encourage other. So using your voice, using your checkout, your library card, and using your feet and attending programs and coming into the library and browsing, looking at our art exhibits, just coming in with your computer and just a space to be. There's so many people use the library for so many different things.
Funding. I know there's some federal funding for libraries. I don't know how much it really depends on it. Can you say a little bit?
Sure, we have very little federal funding and state funding. Our city provides the lion's share, and our foundation. One more plug. Our generous foundation, but the city provides for our funding. But when the city is squeezed by federal and state, we are squeezed as well. But we are m municipally funded. And just one more point, our board is appointed by the mayor. So w there is leadership that is overlooking the libraries as well. Thank you all. These are great questions. I'm such a thrill and such an honor to come with such an engaged group. So thank you so much.